as a day that mashed up a couple of different traditions. Today, for many, is Reformation Day that commemorates, sometimes it celebrates, the Reformation began by Martin Luther on this day in 1517. If you want to have an argument about whether or not Luther actually nailed something to the door on that day or not, you can do that after capital worship. People have opinions. We also recognize that this begins the vigil for All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve, which has become celebrated as Halloween, but in the early church, there would be a long night of retelling the stories of those who had died, remembering not just their names, but their lives before God. In light of last week, in light of what happened in Louisville, in light of what happened in Pittsburgh, it is obvious, at least to me, that we are in desperate need of further reform, and that we need to tell stories of those who have died, to both remember their legacies and to realize that those lights that have been extinguished in this world should not have gone away. So today, after a week of too much death, too much hatred, we have 13 candles here for the 11 who lost their lives in Pittsburgh, for the two who lost their lives in Louisville. And we know that those are not the first. And while we hope and pray they will not be the last, we know that that requires work from us. That requires commitment from us. As I walked from the seminary over to Kearns this morning, I passed by the Promise for Life statue. As an aside, I'm thankful to Facilities for moving the crane so we can commemorate the dead from last week and move into our community Kristallnacht commemoration with an unfettered view of this sculpture. It was created by a sculptor named Alfred Tibor, who himself was a survivor of the Holocaust, and as an artist, visualized and memorialized not just the victims of this deadly disease of antisemitism, but offers us still today a plumb line on our campus of what is yet for us to do. Because that is the kind of reformation that we need, a promise for life. As the psalmist waits on God and cries out for life and deliverance. As Jesus comes and brings good news to those who don't seem to think life is possible, we stand as a critical call to promise for life. Because our sins of omission and commission are all too often visited in deadly ways upon the Jewish community, the Muslim community, the LGBTQIA community, on people of color, on people living in poverty. We have begun a reform, but reform is not complete. When we do not take God's promise for life seriously for all people as people of God, we deny that divine spirit of reformation. This morning, I pitched this idea to Kristen, and she helped me think through it a little bit. I initially said, any reformation that does not include a promise for life for all is not a reformation of God. And she provided a helpful contextualization to remind that we all need personal reformation. We all need reformation that changes within us, that turns us, that shapes us. And that doesn't seem at first to speak to all. So I think it's clear that we need to qualify that and say, yes, I need reformation. You don't need to raise your hand, but I imagine many of you probably still need reformation. But if your personal reformation does not lead to abundant life for those around you, if it does not realize the presence of God and the purpose of God, not just for you, but for your community, then there is still reform to be done. There is still something yet to be offered. We come in the promise that life is something that comes after death. And we come in the hope for that. This is where that difference between faith and certainty is very alive for me as a pastor. Because these are the hardest moments to preach that. I want that. I believe that. But it's hard to do right now. And that's why we tell stories of the saints who've gone before us, of the people who have died before us, the people who have witnessed to the presence of God before us. So to honor the legacy of those who died on this All Hallows Eve, we will name each of the victims and share just a bit of the stories that have been printed about them across the media to remember that these are people beloved by God in their very selves as people of color, as people ethnically and religiously Jewish, as people with God's image at the core of who they are. We remember before God Maurice Stallard, a 1967 May high school graduate who was shopping for school supplies with his 12-year-old grandson when he was shot. We remember before God Vicki Lee Jones, a graduate of Shawnee High School who attended Western Kentucky University, who had retired from the VA hospital where she worked as an administrator. We remember before these lights have been lit as a sign that they are not gone forever, that they are held in the hands of a God who promises something more, that even within our penchant for death, God's promise extends to life. But we also remember today that that does not mean we should remain unaffected by unnecessary death, but instead should be called to a life that grows abundant life for everyone. So at this time, we're going to sing a couple of hymns. Around the room, you will see unlit candles on tables. During this time of reflection, if you'd like to stay in your seat, if you'd like to write down prayers, that is entirely appropriate. If you would like to come to any of the stations and light candles in memory of either the victims from last week or of those who have died in your own life, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to light a candle as a memorial to your commitment to continued reformation in ways that offers life and light in the legacy of God, you are welcome to do that. We leave this time as a space for reflection and meditation and a call to God's promise for life.